A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in fire, flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. He answered, Here I am. God said, Come no near, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your father, he continued, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The cry of the children of Israel has reached me, and I have truly noted that the Egyptians are oppressing them. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh to lead my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? He answered, I will be with you, and this shall be your proof. That is, it is I who have sent you. When you bring my people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain. Verum Domini. The Lord is kind and merciful.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give you I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Verbum Domini. God, the Almighty Father, who created us, we are his children, children of the Father. And the Father loves us so much that he sends his only begotten Son to save us. And in him, Jesus coming to save us, we are given another gift, this gift of his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, so pure, without sin, soul full of love. And so we have the Father who loves us so much, and we have a mother who loves us too. And the mother wishes that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of her Son, Jesus Christ. That is her greatest longing, because she is in such union with the Lord Jesus that she wants us all to be saved. But for us to come to this salvation and to inherit what God has promised us in his Son Jesus is that we are called to, as his children, to accept the kingdom of God as children. And this is what Jesus speaks about today in the gospel, is he's telling the Father that he's praising him because there he now amongst his disciples, his apostles, that here are people who have received the kingdom like a child. And as a result of this, they are sharing in the fruitful life of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, you know, in Matthew chapter 10, before Matthew chapter 11 here as we're in the gospel today, Jesus says that whoever does not receive me like a child shall not enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus is calling upon us to come to the Lord as children. Well, what does this mean? Does this mean that we are to be immature and we are to be bratty and like that? No. It means that we know that everything comes from the Father, who is the Creator, and that we belong to him. And in being his children, in knowing that God loves us and has given us all things, has given us life, is that we come to the Lord loving him and depending on him and knowing all that he's given to us and submitting to this love of his. And that means that we observe what he commands us. Okay, first, yeah, we want to enjoy this love and know that we are loved by the Father. But but he gives us these commands so that we could have a more fruitful, more healthy life in him, so that we can have life with him, not just now in this earth, but for all eternity. So receiving the Lord like a child is necessary. Well, you know, as we know that in this world, it gets a little difficult. You know, it's hard. You know, it's not easy living where there's so much evil and, you know, we're always sort of in a battle and all that. No. Well, this is why the Lord and the Father, he sends his Son Jesus. to help us on our way so that we can see a way of how to live like Jesus. And Jesus, who is the visible image of the Father, shows us how to live in this world. And then we see his most closest follower, his mother, Mary, who loves us as a mother loves her children. She is our mother. And many of the saints would say is that she's more of our mother than our own birth mother, because it was through her that her son is born, Jesus, and that we have salvation. And so Mary, our mother, wants us to be close to her son, Jesus. She desires that we be with him for all eternity. Holy desires, the most purest desires, the Heavenly Mother. And so she does all she can so that this could happen. Now just think about you mothers with your children. You love them so much. You protect them. You know, you care for them. You provide for them. And so does our Heavenly Mother. And so as we've seen throughout the centuries, is that she's come to us many times. And this is the day, the memorial we celebrate, is Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And so here she is coming to us again, as we've seen in Our Lady of Guadalupe. We see Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima. Here, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And what does she bring with us? She brings the scapular. So here are a little bit about the origins of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. When we go back to about the 13th century, the early 13th century, late 12th century, there had been a group of men, and they were living a monastic life. They came together in prayer. They, of course, meditated on the scriptures. They had deep devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this was like the origins of the Carmelite order. You know, and they saw that even their founder, because remember, Carmel is a place where Elijah was. You know, and so that Elijah was like their founder as well. You know, there in Carmel, is even still to this day, you have Elijah's cave. And we know that back when we see the Old Testament scriptures, that it was there that Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. You know, it was we know that also that Elijah was, of course, a very holy man. God did such great and powerful works through him. And that at one point, you know, God deemed him so holy that he took him off in a fiery chariot. And that one of his students, Elisha, was there and asked for a double portion of this. And so a double portion of his mantle. You know, and so there it was. There's the mantle there that he left with Elisha. So here are these Carmelites who have their origins there in Elijah. Okay, that's what they're claiming. Well, around that time, there was a young man in England who we know as St. Simon Stock. And St. Simon Stock, upon hearing of these devout men in Carmel, in Israel, he decided to join the Carmelite order. Eventually, there were more men assembled, and then he became sort of the minister general in charge of the superior, in charge of the order. And then it was Our Lady of Mount Carmel who appeared to him around the year 1251. And then there she gave him the scapular. And then, you know, it was around this time it was a little tumultuous. There was trouble. It was troubles in the Carmelite order in forming and coming together, and making the order official. Well, once this happened, this kind of slowly cleared the way for the Carmelite order to be established. And so the word got out that the Blessed Virgin had given the scapular, this clothing, to the Carmelites, and eventually this would be passed on. And, you know, then what we now know as a scapular was given to us. And this is the scapular is, as we know, Mary's protection over us. And like it, since it has its, the Carmelites have its origin in Elijah, and as I just spoke earlier, is that remember that Elijah gives his mantle and a double portion of it to Elisha. So what is this? What is this? The scapular is in a like manner like that. Here he is. Here the Blessed Virgin giving us this sacramental to us as a way of showing her protection and love for us. And so we have this available to us, and remember that there are a certain things that are required of those who wear the scapular. It doesn't mean just because you wear the scapular that you're automatically saved and free from eternal punishment. No, that's part of the promises of it, but we have to do our part. And so what is necessary? Of course, well, you know, we have the scapular. It's good to be enrolled in it. You know, any priest can do this for you. You know, it takes, you know, 5 or 10 minutes or so. And then once you receive the scapular, there are certain things that are required to do. Of course, you know, to wear it faithfully. You know, we are called to live our life according to our state of life in chastity. You know, that we are chaste, whether we're married or single. And chaste in the married life means that we show the most fidelity to our spouse. You know, that's living chastely in married life. Of course, you share in the conjugal love, but that is made only for your spouse and nobody else, so as to live that faithfully. And then to pray the Holy Rosary, you know, daily. And sometimes there are certain alternatives. If you can talk to a priest, I think you could also pray the Little Office of Mary as a form of the breviary, and then there's other works that can be done in replacement for that through speaking with the priest. So here we are. Here we are, the Blessed Virgin. And, you know, here we are as people of God who are loved by God. And, you know, here he's given us everything. So what is required of us is that we are his children. You know, that we do all that he commands for love of our Father. And then we got our Blessed Virgin Mary who's there protecting us, praying for us, constantly interceding for us. Now her, you know, she knows human struggle. She knows human troubles and trials. And so she understands what we're going through. That way that's why she prays for us so faithfully. And so that we can bring to her our prayers. And there she is praying for us. Now if you have any intentions, of course, we pray to the Lord, to Jesus. Jesus hears. Jesus knows. But then we have someone else who's closest to Jesus, who knows his heart more than anybody. And so she takes that to him. And so, you know, as we see in John chapter 19, we see somebody, St. John the Beloved. We see Jesus who gives us his mother, and John takes her into his home. And so we, the children of the Father, who have received from the Father, we receive life, we receive all things as children. And so Jesus, who is the visible image of the Father, now gives us his mother so that we can take her so that she could be queen of our hearts. And in this, there she is, praying only that we be with Jesus for the entirety of her life and that we share faithfully and fruitfully in all the graces of his life and love. And so there we give ourselves, of course, to the Lord, but also to the Blessed Virgin on this day as children of God and children of our mother. God bless you all.